And he gets paid $10,000 a year to be this.
$10,000 a year to be the official, wizard.
Which is not that much, by the way. You know, like, it's like, that's literally like paying.
Well, especially if it's New Zealand dollars, it's really not that
much. But actually, you know what I mean? That's actually homeless people get paid more here in LA to be official homeless people for
But he's making 10,000 more than any other wizard in the world, right?
I'm sorry, can we rewind that for a second? Francisco, did you just use the term official homeless people?
Yeah.
Now we're live.
Yeah, live, baby.
As ever. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. I've been looking forward to our catch up. You know, I like it. I like our good weekly catch up. It's a good pattern that we're getting on here.
Yeah. You know? It's a good thing to share, to talk about what's happening.
And we got something really interesting this week, because as we've been talking to any of our listeners out there, we told you at the start of this podcast that we really looked forward to talking about the arts and flying and what artists have to do to sacrifice and travel around the world. And lately, because of the quarantine, like for the last couple episodes, we can't even be in the same room, let alone have guests in to talk about where they're from. So we've improvised a bit. We asked our producer, Brian, to come up with some ideas. And Brian has asked us to launch today's show off by talking about where the safest place would be to live in the pandemic.
And that is...
Da-da-da-da. It's so easy to figure out, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, let's let them guess for a little bit. Of course,
Francis, if you've been reading the news since the whole pandemic started, you probably know which is the best country to be in terms of like who handled the pandemic the best. And I think we should tell people that
it's easy to narrow it down. You knew it would be an island, right? It's got to be an island of isolation, not a dirty island, not like the British Isles. That's British Isles are too dirty and swampy. That's not the best, but of course it's going to be an island.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And then of course it's going to be a not very populated island.
True, but I don't subscribe to that. I think they still did a good job. I mean, obviously it is harder when there's more people, obviously. But I think overall, even if there was like a bigger more population, they still would have done a great job, you know. And let's just say it. I think
going people do it. All do right. It. Do it.
It's reveal. Lord of the Rings. What is it called? Lord of the Rings? The city of the Lord on Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I don't, Middle Earth. Oh,
there Middle we go, Earth. Middle it's Earth. Middle Earth. That's where the pandemic has been the best.
Yeah.
On Middle Earth, which is in Earth, you know, lingo, it's New Zealand.
Yeah, well, his studios, Peter Jackson, they're actually in Wellington, which is great little part of New Zealand. It's just at the bottom of the North Island.
You've been
Island.
There, by the way. You've been there.
I have. It is absolutely one of my favorite places in the world, and also some of my favorite comics in the world. So to that point, like I'm really looking forward as we get into this podcast, and when our limitations get lifted, I'm looking forward to us having people like Rhys Darby, you know, and Ben Hurley. There is just some outstanding comics out of New Zealand, and not to mention great filmmakers like Taika Waititi. And so, yeah, it's New Zealand because they're really polite. They listen to rules, and there's only 4 million of them on that island anyway.
True, but it also starts with the leadership. You know what I mean? I think that the president, I forget what her name is, the fact that, you know, people like they listen to science and they realize, oh, look, this is what we need to do. And and now they're having full, you know, full stadiums full of people, you know, watching, you know, New Zealand. What is it? It's not rugby. It's new. What is
isn't
it called?
It weird that in a population that's in a nation that's mostly sheep, they have a better time believing in science
than
America.
Right. they're the ones. Yeah, he's like, they actually, they're sheep over there, actual sheep. You know what I mean? They're actually animals, not like, it's crazy. I mean, it's like, it makes, I mean, but yeah, I mean, it's such a cool thing to see. Like, it's, and also it has, besides New Zealand, I see now, because I, you know, I'm a very big tennis fan, and I'm seeing now, like in Australia, there's going to be the Australian Open, and Australia too. Now, like, they were doing like now playing with stadiums packed of people, yeah, because yeah. In Australia is the same thing now.
Oh, comedians are doing shows. I'm seeing, you know, highlights of comedians on stage and stuff. And here we are.
Even they're shooting, they're filming over there. Like, I know that like, the new show of The Rock, you know, of Dwayne Johnson, who's going to come out on NBC, they did it over there on Australia. Really? Yeah, they filmed that over there.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And apparently Marvel has like a whole village.
That's true.
Over there.
That's
they're true. Making their movies too. So there's going to be a whole shift. There was an exodus from Hollywood in the midst of this pandemic anyway, because so many people want to avoid the taxes and stuff. So they're moving to Texas or to Vegas, but also tons of people going to Australia or back to Australia.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be a little Hollywood of the South.
But I think that's just, I mean, that probably is probably obviously because I think it's a little panic move of people just doing it. I mean, I understand the people that are like they're rich and they want to move because of the taxes purposes, you know, and they use this as a thing. But I think overall, it's kind of like when this everything gets back to normal, you know, people will be back. I mean, this is where the industry is, you know what I mean? It's kind of like at the end of the day, it's like,
yeah, but it'll be interesting though, because if they can do things on a lesser budget, you know, it's
well, that always no,
and if we go back to being a global village, you know, then people be like, yeah, it's a 10-hour flight, I'll just pop over.
I'm not saying in terms of shooting or filming or stuff, like you're gonna not be able to do it in different places because it's cheaper. That's what they always done all the time, but I'm talking about in terms of like when people say, okay, let's do this, let's make this, it's done here in LA. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you're not, then they go like, all right, now let's find the cheapest place to do it. Let's do it in Australia, or let's do it in New Zealand, or let's do it in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Or Vancouver. But the decisions are still made here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I hope so, you know, for now anyway, but that's just it. Like, if you've been to Peter Jackson's studios down in Wellington, and like, it's like anything, like, what's his face? Tyler Perry, you know?
In Atlanta,
He's in Atlanta. He didn't listen to Hollywood. He went, all right, Hollywood, you're not giving me what I want, so I'll park it here.
But that
so
was
that
more
kind
of
movement can easily happen with Australia too, because everybody's going there. My voiceover that I do for Hot Wheels City, that's gone now. That's moved to Australia.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah, man. There's going to be a little. I think they've seen their opportunity to create a little Hollywood industry there, and they'll go for it too. You know,
Aussies.
It's not like Aussies have a lot to be.
But it's also like, I think it's like, it's not like, but the thing about it is like, it's not like it's not never been, you know, like Australia has their, but it's like Australia has their film business. Like in Spain is there a very successful film industry, you know, in Argentina as well, Brazil. So like there's countries, they all have their thing. The only thing is like the big things or the things that get most popular around the world have been done in LA. You know, what I'm thinking, like what you're saying is like, now it might be where like the big, which I seen it now, for example, in Spain, like with the show that I keep telling you to watch, how that show became such a global phenomenon, completely done in Spain. That's it. Produced by Spanish, you know,
right.
You know, so it had nothing to do with Hollywood. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. I think in terms of like, which I like that. I think it's a great for competition. That means like you don't have to be in Hollywood to do something that's really big and popular, you know what I mean? So that's cool.
Oh, totally. Yeah, because lots of stuff's made in Vancouver as well. But yeah, you never know when a seismic shift can happen. I mean, because I was just like, even in terms of music, like in the 90s, the Seattle music scene, like that took everything. Everybody was in LA and everybody was in San Diego. And then all of a sudden they're like, Seattle. And then then you have it. You have all these bands
all over
America and all over the world now moving to Seattle, because Seattle's now the hotbed. And I see it happening here, because I even know people in relationships and stuff. If there's an Australian in your relationship right now, they are, if your relationship is America-based and you have an Aussie in your relationship, they've probably been trying to convince you to move back to Australia.
Hey, I would love to move. I never been there, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, my girlfriend's from North Carolina, so like it's hard to.
Right.
But like, hey, I love to move. I love like traveling. I mean, this is one of the reasons the main reason that I wanted to do this podcast about travel and stuff like that, because traveling is so much fun, and living in different cultures and stuff like that is such a great thing, because you learn so much. You know, that's the thing. I think traveling should be recommended, like, for everybody that's in school. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, you know how you people like sometimes people, like, you had the choice of a student to be like, can I do my semester abroad? It should be like, no, you have to do a semester abroad. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, is it the British that call it the gap year? You should always do a gap year. You should. Yeah.
What, what's a gap year?
They call it a gap year. It's like a semester abroad. It's like going away. or just going walkabout, you know, going.
Because
it's in between your college years. So, you don't, you know, it's, you know, that's your gap year. You're traveling, going, you're learning about yourself. You know, I started my comedy career on a gap year.
Oh, really? Well, Latinos, we travel because we have to. You know what I mean? Not because it's not like, hey, let's learn the world. They're like, no, I gotta go to this place because it's a better world to live in, you know.
If you had stand-up comedy dreams, you're not gonna stay where I'm from either, like Nova Scotia. Yeah,
Latinos, it has nothing to do with stand-up, it's about survival, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, they're killing me here. I gotta go. To at least where I don't get killed, you know?
Gonna find somewhere better. But I will say that I know we kicked it off with New Zealand and then we moved into Australia, but New Zealand I wanted to live there. I did want to live there. I very much like, I loved it. I think it's so far away from Canada, it's ridiculous. When I was there, I remember noticing, so I'm from Nova Scotia in Canada, and it's the polar opposite to New Zealand in the sense that we are the two places that get cut off maps if you're in a travel center. They can only fit so much map wallpaper on their walls. They usually cut off New Zealand and Nova Scotia. So it's like a treat of a place to find on maps.
That's hilarious. I was going to say since we're talking about New Zealand, and our producer Brian, he's found some great facts about New Zealand that we want to share
We were talking about it off the air about what would be the best place to live in the pandemic. And I think we all kind of agreed. We're like, it's got to be an island, something like
I'm absolutely not surprised that they beat it that quickly.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing what they've done. I mean,
it's hard to compare. You can't like, how did Hawaii fare? In
Hawaii is really good. Like Hawaii,
yeah, like, all right. So,
like they're
so
like
America
because
does, is capable.
Well, it's because of the way the thing is. Like in America, is like it's very ununited. You know what I mean? Like it's not like if everybody was doing the same thing, then it could have done. But like if one state is doing one thing and once another state is doing another thing, and there's no borders and anybody can travel from one state to the other, then of course there's no gonna be any control, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even compared to New Zealand, Hawaii did pretty bad. New Zealand's total cases were 2,304 and they only had 25 deaths.
Wow.
Yeah, now you see.
That's crazy.
There's another lovely point about this. I don't know. It could go to a dark place if we wanted to, but the fact that New Zealand, like Canada, they have people that will sacrifice their freedoms for the greater good.
Well, that's another thing. There's no freedom.
And they won't do that here. Whereas, like, in New Zealand, they have a tragedy by gun. They have that shooting, like, horrible, the worst shooting in the history of the country. And then within a week, the prime minister goes, all right, we're banning guns. And New Zealand just went, okay, yeah, that's fair enough. That's a good thing. Well, moves like that can't happen in America.
Well, the thing is, like, my theory on this is that the U.S. has, especially the people that are alive in the U.S. right now, they have never been, they're being very spoiled, like spoiled rich kids, that they've been given everything. So if you tell a rich spoiled kid that, you know, since from like that now is 40 and you tell them like, hey man, now you can't drive this car. They'll be like, what? I do whatever I want. You know, they have this fucking attitude. But like other countries like New Zealand or even Europe, whatever, the culture, like in Europe, especially, they've been through wars. They've been through plague. They've been through shit. So like people know that like, hey, when it's time, when bad shit, really bad shit happens and you have to sacrifice, and it's not even your freedom. You're sacrificing like, okay, I got to stay in my house so I don't get sick so that we can get back to normal. You know, which to me, that's not freedom. Freedom. Yeah, to me, that's not a
you're
freedom.
You're sacrificing your luxury is what you're saying.
Yeah, luxury. That's the word. You're sacrificing your luxury. So, like, that's what happened here, I believe. It's like all in the U.S. has never been because all the wars that the U.S. has is they'll be outside. You know, the only war that really happened here is only like civil war and everybody's dead. You know what I mean? You know, so it's like there's nobody going, you know, so nobody has really.
No,
like,
yeah. If really, you don't know oppression, if you don't know real oppression, you're not.
Of gonna, course. You don't
of course
know.
You're going to think what's happening now is unfair.
So then when somebody tells you, hey, you got to wear a mask, they that to them, that's oppression. But if you tell fucking somebody from Africa that they or in the Middle East that they that you, they, you hear fucking shooting, you know, every day since you were born, you know, and bombs, and you tell them, hey, you got to wear a mask. You're like, okay, yeah, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I'm fucking, I got better shit to survive than, you know, so it's like, that's.
Did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about how he was talking about his behavior and he was like, I knew some Nazis. He's like, I grew up in the woods around the Nazis. Why don't you guys start being careful about trying to invoke the Nazis?
Yeah. That's, to me, that's the thing. I think that's the reality of it. And like, and that's, going back to what I was saying is because a lot of Americans don't travel either. So they don't know they're like, oh, there's other ways to do it that sometimes are better than how we do it here. I mean, some ways that that people do here are really good. And then other stuff's like, oh, you got to learn from other people that, you know, like New Zealand, for example, they realize, oh, no, this is a way for us to get back to normal quickly. Boom, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
To be fair, like JJ said earlier, they have just over 4 million people there, which, you know, it makes it one of the world's least populated countries, which
true.
Obviously
that's what I was going to say. There's only like two, there's like two highways that they've, there's only two highways, I think, on the whole country island, or on the North Island anyway, that I think they've given four names to just to make it look like there's more. But it's, it's not.
No, I mean, of course, that is, it's easier, obviously, huge because there's less people and stuff like that. But hey, I mean, take a state that, take North Dakota or whatever, you know, that I don't know how many people are in the state. And there's still fucking more COVID than the whole, you know, because it's the whole attitude of like, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want kind of thing. You know? It's like, it's easier because it's less people, but it's also like, it's also the
it
way
still
that
takes the commitment.
It takes the commitment. You know what I mean? Of like,
Because being landlocked, it's tough to close all your borders, but there are landlocked in Europe and stuff. Everybody's landlocked.
Yeah.
And even in Canada. And, you know, and provinces and countries have figured it out.
True.
We have trouble doing it here in America.
Besides the COVID stuff, like just looking up stuff on New Zealand, I was like, okay, I'll live here even if there wasn't a pandemic. They, in 1990, they became the first country to appoint an official national wizard.
Wow. Wait, in terms of like they made like a saint, you mean?
Controls all the guns. No.
Okay, so it's not Gandalf and they
That's what I mean. Is Dumbledore.
He looks like Dumbledore.
Right.
He looks exactly like here.
I thought Britain would have beat them to a wizard.
You guys will be able we'll put it up on the screen too, but you guys will be able to open that.
Oh, wow. And he gets paid $10,000 a year to be this
$10,000 a year to be the official wizard.
Which is not that much, by the way. You know, like it's like that's literally like paying.
Well, especially if it's New Zealand dollars, it's really not that
much. But actually, you know what I mean? That's actually homeless people get paid more here in LA to be official homeless people for
me. But he's making 10,000 more than any other wizard in the world, right?
I'm sorry, can we rewind that for a second? Francisco, did you just use the term official homeless people?
Yeah, there's, you know,
like you're handed a badge after a while. You've been here for a week, you're officially a homeless person.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've been here now in LA more than I think, even more than I was when I grew up in Maryland. And like now there's homeless people that I know like by their name and like I have conversation, especially in the comic industry. There was this guy, his name is Boom Shakalaka, you know, and like he's at the comedy store. He's always hanging out at
his parents doomed him.
No. Well, I'm assuming that's not his name, you know, obviously. That's his stage name. That's like Jamie Foxx, you know, but his name is Boom Shakalaka, you know. But he's at the comedy store since I started going there. And and he's like the official like homeless of the Comedy Store. And like I actually he sells clothes.
Is that, on that his biog?
Yeah. He sells clothes that I buy, that I have bought for him, because he obviously steals the clothes, but then he sells it to you for a dollar. He's like, I'll give you, hey, you want this shirt for a dollar? And I'm like, and sometimes I tell him like, look, if you find me a good size, I'll come by. And then he comes back the next day, be like, hey man, I got you the size, you know, and then boom. And then he's like, I'm buying a dollar. I have a shirt that I bought for him for a dollar. He sells, I mean, just everything's stuff that he gets steal, you know? And I do say that he's very, I'm pretty sure that he makes more than $10,000 a year, you know, than the official wizard, you know?
Right. I mean, you say that there in New Zealand, any Kiwis will appreciate me saying this. There was quite a famous homeless man in New Zealand in Wellington, where Peter Jackson's, once again, his whatchamacallit studios are. He was called Blanket Man, and he used to sit naked on a blanket because he was Aboriginal. And so I don't know if the laws were, he doesn't have to obey nudity laws. I don't know what the deal was. Anybody?
Wait, what?
Can clear this up for us, but he used to sit on a blanket naked.
Is this a wizard or the homeless guy?
This is a homeless guy in New Zealand. I'm taking it back to New Zealand for us.
I'm not the wizard. I'm thinking the wizard is just homeless. It's just a homeless dude with a beard, and they're like, yeah, I'll be a wizard for $10,000.
I guess, yeah. What is the difference between a homeless guy and a wizard besides like a hat and a robe?
And right? They talk nonsense.
Spells, man. Spells.
Well, yeah,
I've seen some good homeless spells, though.
Hey, well, they have the time to learn close-up magic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I sent you an article. Only this one's for you, Francisco, because we were talking about it off the air. Okay. Of how much you like random big things that are attractions in places.
Okay.
New Zealand is nothing short of having a lot of those.
I was going to say Aussies, Canadians, and Kiwis love big things. They love bragging about it. Yeah, in Canada, we have the big nickel. We have the big hockey stick. We have the big lobster. I think.
Is that because everybody over there, they got small penises? Or is that
a compensation?
Is that a compensation? Or?
It is a compensation, but not for our penises. Not for penises, but it is to
compensate. There's no shrinkage? There's no shrinkage?
It's to compensate for domestic tourism, is all it's to get people excited. Because New Zealand may be beautiful, but it's also beautiful. So how do you get somebody from Wollongong or whatever to go to fly across and visit?
If I'm going to New Zealand, I'm not going to see the biggest Kiwi in the world. I'm going just to...
You'd be surprised. There's only two highways, Francisco, so in a lot of ways, you don't have a choice. You're going to be driving it, and they're going to be, oh, it's the biggest Kiwi in the world.
Like, no, right, I mean, I'll travel to New Zealand just because I want to see New Zealand, but my choice of traveling wouldn't be because, hey, I want to see the biggest Kiwi, you know what I mean?
Well, Francisco, you tell me if any of these change your mind, all right? They have the big donut.
I mean, there's a big donut here in L.A.
They have big salmon.
Big Sam. I mean,
that sounds like they stole that from us.
Yeah.
I thought Canada had the big Sam.
And by the way, these are not real animals or donuts. These are just sculptures, right?
Yeah, they're usually big fabricated sculptures on a road stop, like in the same.
We'll throw them up. We'll throw them up on the screen. You can see them in that article I sent. my favorite one is they have one that's a big carrot.
The big, I mean, these are just simple stuff. Like, it's like, this is all, it's not even like,
oh, I can't, I honestly can't think of a big thing that would blow my mind anyway.
Even if I'm driving in the two-way road that you said, JJ, I'm not even stopping at those places. I'm just going like, oh, cool. All right. Let's get to the forest, you know, hotel.
I never got those as an attraction either. I really just, because the U.S. has a bunch of those too.
Yeah, they have it like in there. I mean, I think those are like
I get them. I get them because you're looking at summer holidays. You're looking at, like, if, in the context of summer holidays for young families who have to travel by car and stuff, and they camp and all that kind of stuff. Like, we used to, like, the Whitehead family, 100%, because although we're gonna, like, we're looking forward to getting to whatever Canada's Wonderland or Niagara Falls, there's some
highlight. Are you just saying the plot of Vacation? he's like
Canadian,
my dad. Chevy
Canadian National.
So we go to Wonderworld.
Oh yeah, Wally World.
Wally World.
Yeah, that's right. He wanted to go to Wally World. Well, I mean, who they might have even filmed it there. I don't know, but yeah, no, we had Canada's Wonderland, which is sponsored by Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Like Yogi Bear. Yeah, that was ours. You guys had Mickey Mouse. You guys keep your Mickey Mouse. We'll take Yogi Bear.
You know what? I would rather have Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Really?
I was never a big fan of Yogi Bear, and it was very annoying. It's like, No, I like the Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, all that, you know.
Anyway, I was gonna say, Canada's Wonderland was pretty cool. We had like 7 roller coasters and stuff, but that, of course, is 38 hours or something drive from where I'm from in Nova Scotia. And if my parents, that's a 3-day journey, right? Like with 3 kids and stuff like that. So yeah, you're stopping at big stuff. You're stopping for picnics at the big hockey stick, or picnics at the big whatever fudge stick, or
the ball of yarn.
As a domestic.
My thing is that you get to the stuff. It's not like you stop and you go like, okay, cool, let's take a picture, and that's it. Like, what are you doing? It's not even a ride that you can get in. It's just a huge thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they're all different. They've all got some different. Sometimes you might like it. You know, there's a big dinosaur.
And then you have to do this stupid picture of like, oh, I'm pushing the dinosaur, you know, or like, this is, you know, you're all... Hey, I did it when I'm for the Eiffel Tower.
There you go.
Well, Francisco, you're gonna hate the big statue that we're putting in the tar pits of you to promote the podcast.
That one is actually will be a national treasure.
That one, yeah, that's your favorite one.
That Nicolas Cage will be stealing that one.
There's a goal, Francisco. Maybe someday, someplace we'll have the big Francisco.
That's true. That'd be awesome.
That sounds like a deli at a sandwich at a deli.
The big, I don't care if it becomes a chain and it makes money like Quiznos. Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you guys for letting me come on and talk about New Zealand for a little bit.
Well, thanks for buttering us up. Like I said, like, it'll be really awesome when we get comics like Rhys Darby or Ben.
Yeah, then we're gonna really know because that's the cool thing about when we start having guests, because we're gonna be able to know the stuff that we can. That you can find on the internet. You know what I mean? That stuff that they only know because they're from there.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that, everyone listening. So that'll be coming up soon at some point.
Yes. Yeah, man. I did a national tour in New Zealand with Ben Hurley, this fantastic comic out of there. And one of my biggest memories is that we were on the South Island. So there's a place called Queenstown, which is amazing. It looks like Lord of the Rings, and it's like a little, because you know Kiwis are all adenture people, right? It's like they're rappelling everywhere.
By the way, is Kiwi a good way to call them? I don't want to be like,
yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's
I feel like, and you keep you saying can't Kiwi. Oh, I can't say it.
You think it sounds like?
I don't want Kiwi to be like the N word, and Jay just like, this Kiwis, man, these Kiwis are so cute.
Yeah, they have their
AJ called me the K word.
Yeah,
the K word. My feelings are really hurt. No, they're perfectly happy.
One thing that the New Zealanders don't like is that
it's a real thing. It's a Kiwi bird.
That's like, from what I just learned, from what I learned from watching Flight of the Conchords, which I was a very big fan of that show, is that New Zealanders don't like to be confused as Australians, right? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Everybody said that. I think they're over that. That's like when they say that to Canadians as well. We don't care about it as much as I think people are told. You know what's more annoying than being called an American? It's more annoying to get that spiel afterwards, to go, oh, we know how frustrated you guys get. And I bet you Kiwis feel the same way. Like, no, fine. This is, you know, same part of the world. It's all right. It's forgivable. But yeah, I hate that. That happens to me a lot in Britain as well, where it's like, so where are you from in America? And then I go, I'm Canadian. And they go, oh, sorry. I know that's so offensive. You must be and I'm like, nah, dude, it's fine. Let's just move on.
It's kind of like when somebody calls me by their by a different name. And I'm like, I was like, hey, Fernando. And I'm like, I don't even bother to tell them. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'm Fernando. Like, I don't know you. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't care who you are. You're the Uber driver. You know what I mean?
I'm never going to see you again. I'm Fernando.
That's fine. Who cares? Because then they go like, oh, I'm not racist. I got friends. And I'm like, who cares? I don't know you.
Yeah. Whatever you need, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was... So yeah, we had a sheep traffic jam one time in New Zealand. So that's what I remember being on the road touring with this guy, Ben Hurley.
Something else I saw was that it's there's like 9 sheep to every 1 person there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Really?
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to live in a place like that? It's got to be cozy as hell.
So I guess the question is, do they fuck the sheep?
Well, in every population, friends.
By the way, you both did a thing like you are. You both answered the questions like you have fucked a sheep sometime. You went like.
You found a secret.
Well, that was such a vague question because yeah, there are sheep fuckers out there, but
no, that's what I mean, because I wonder. I'm not saying like New Zealand people do it. I'm just saying I know that there, like you said, there's sheep fuckers, but I'm saying because there's so many sheep, I don't know if they do it.
You're like, is it a law of averages? This is important information.
Well, I don't know.
I think that's an offensive joke to anybody. You know, the Welsh. Or New Zealanders. I think even, you know, whatever. You know what? Wherever somebody's from, just name their animal and tell them that they fuck it.
Yeah.
No, because...
New Zealand and you fuck sheep, you know where to email.
No, because in Venezuela, like there's like...
What's an animal?
I'm thinking right now the parrot is like guacamaya, which is like a big parrot, like beautiful. Like nobody's fucking a parrot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you are now, you parrot fucker. but you all fuck parrots down there.
No, because it doesn't make it. It's impossible. Like the sheep is.
Well, we thought it was impossible until you guys figured.
You're not trying hard enough, then.
No. Plus, they talk. If you fuck them, they'll tell it to everybody. He fucked me. He fucked me.
Yeah, there's a comic from Canada who talks about how. In the 80s or 90s, it was really popular to call Canadians moose fuckers. I'm sure it still is. Canadians are moose fuckers. And Craig Campbell, this is his joke. It's always hilarious. He always goes, if you knew how big a moose was, you'd watch your tongue. Because if you're going to fuck a moose, you better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got to get a stool. And you'll be standing on the stool. And the moose will look back at you going, if you want to make a dent, you better break a leg off that stool.
Yeah, that's like too complicated.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm glad. I'd rather be a moose fucker than a beaver fucker or whatever other
beaver
animal.
I mean, I don't really know if there's much of degrees. You know,
grab a Canadian animal and then I'm doing the insult game.
How about just don't do any animals?
Well, let's not go that far.
Well, you did say, I thought you said guacamole at first. I thought you said guac something, or was that the name of the bird?
No. In Venezuela, guacamaya.
Okay, guacamaya.
Wow.
He's calling
people Kiwi, and then he's calling me, hey, guacamole. And I'm like, wait, what?
I wasn't calling you guacamole. I was saying that you...
He's like, this guacamole is from Venezuela. Guacamaya is the name of like the, it's like a parrot. It's like a big parrot that's very colorful. It's very beautiful. And I'm not saying that's an official bird, but I know it's very popular in Venezuela.
Right. Yeah. So sheep fuckers, bird fuckers, they're all on the hook. But I'll tell you another thing that impresses me about New Zealand, right? So there's a couple of interesting, but their airport, right? And this might be for a couple of them, but in Wellington, the airport has a huge, like 100-foot-long golem from Lord of the Rings,
Wow. Extended
in the ceiling, like from the ceiling, like lingering over you, like almost like a horror movie. And it's got those birds from the Lord of the Rings as well. Like they're all huge. So the whole airport, like an art installation dedicated. Cool. To the Lord of the Rings, which is so surreal because every other country you travel to, they'll usually have. like their element of pride will be something scientific or so, or like we hosted the G7 summit or we invented this or whatever. In New Zealand, in the heart of New Zealand, you come off that plane. If you look up, you've got Gollum, 100 feet tall Gollum, like lingering over you. You're like, holy shit, this is what they're not only known for, but what they want to be known. That's pretty cool, isn't it? To go,
that's like in the old days when like the chapels were the tallest building in the town, so you knew who ruled the area. When you go to New Zealand, you know who's in charge, and it's
Schmeagle. But is Peter Jackson Schmeagle from New Zealand? No, right?
I assume he is, isn't he?
I don't know.
I assume he is, and that's why he put his studio there in Wellington.
No, I think he just did it because of he needed that space to film the movies. Oh,
so you think he's Australian, but moved there?
No, I don't know where. I think he's British.
He's from New Zealand.
Oh, he is from New Zealand. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, that makes sense.
And it was filmed in, I think, in rural New Zealand as well.
Okay, so now it makes more sense that they're more proud of it because he's from a New Zealand creator. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like some guy that's not from New Zealand.
Yeah, so who just decided to make the movie there.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is less cool.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. It's all New Zealand landscape. I mean, it is something to be proud of. Plus,
obviously, like it changes the economy too. People are traveling to see the, you know, where the battle of, I don't know, the names of the
And also just to have a tour of his studios. Because, like I said, Wellington's a pretty cool place. It's a hipstery place of New Zealand.
Yeah.
So
the Portland of New Zealand.
It probably is. It is the Portland
of New Zealand.
I'm not sure if they've got those biking alcohol mobiles or whatever they're called. The beer chugging.
And what's the weather like over there, JJ? Is it like always cold? Is it warm in the summer?
It's not warm, but it's pretty rainy, I find. You know, I think they're all
windy. I love that though.
It's rainy and windy. Like Wellington.
It's Portland, yeah.
We've been talking about the Wellington, which is at the bottom of the North Island, and it is beautiful, but it is you go through. I that used to be my opening line in Wellington. I was like, you guys owe me 7 umbrellas by now because it is so rainy and windy that it just tears through the umbrellas. That's always a fun opener to go, I've been here for 3 umbrellas. Or whatever. Everybody understands exactly what you're talking about.
So it keeps raining the whole year, all the time?
It frequently rains. I mean, when it's nice, but yeah, it frequently rains and it's quite windy.
Is there snow in the winter? Is there winter? Or is it just like, because in Venezuela, for example, it's all warm weather all the time. There's rainy seasons, but it's always warm.
Yeah, no, there's another bit of, I do have some New Zealand information. New Zealand, so although it doesn't snow on mainland New Zealand, but it's New Zealand's got high mountains and low beaches, and it's the only place in the world where multiple countries' elite armed forces train. So we'll send Navy, America sends Navy SEALs or whatever, Canada sends our elite forces and stuff, and they train there. And the reason why they train in New Zealand is because you can get 4 climates or levels in one day, so you can start on a beach in New Zealand and go, all right, I'll see you guys up the top of that mountain tomorrow at 6 or whatever, like and they can train on every level. So I remember that being taught.
I thought they trained there because they is a way they get to fight like goblins and monsters and dragons, and it's like, yeah, if you can fight those things, you can fight humans easily.
Yeah, you're ready to graduate if you can handle a troll.
go fight this dragon, and then you can fight the people that storm
the
capital.
You'll be able to take anybody on earth.
you can take the people that storm the capital pretty easy.
Yeah, if you can kill an elf, you can kill a Republican or a Trump supporter.
Could you imagine how they'd feel if you just rocked up to New Zealand? I know they've outlawed guns now, but you just rock up with a bow or something. All right, point me to the orcs.
You get off that plane already. I'm all ready to go.
What is wrong with this guy?
Which is funny because that shows you how good of a movie that is, because like I've never been a big fan of like those like fantasy stories and all that stuff. But like, I have watched all the Lord of the Rings movies, and I like, you know, they're like really good. You know, like even the Hobbit ones I watch too as well. So like, it shows you how good those you know, movies are, you know, in terms of like, and what they did. I mean, to film that in 1 year, I mean, that's pretty cool. Like, that's actually cool as a as an artist, you know, like as a comic, to be like, hey, you're gonna, you have a job for 1 year and you're gonna move to New Zealand. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, even the New Zealand Comedy Festival is a hell of a month as well. I mean, that's
really fun. It's really good.
Yeah, because it's the whole country, and basically they'll if you're doing it, you do a week in each place. So you'll do a week in Auckland, a week in Wellington, a week in Christchurch, or whatever. And so they move you around the country. And then, like I said, we did a little tour at the end. But it's a month-long festival. It's a long one. It's not like one of those fake festivals that we all that we have all over Canada and America now that are really just a weekend of gigs.
Yeah.
It's really, they call it a festival, but it's just like, no, we're just.
Well, I mean, to in defense, the JFL that I did, when I did the JFL, I mean, I was there for like almost a month, you know, in Montreal.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty cool because I was doing the ethnic show, and that's like the show that they start in the beginning, or like, you know, only.
And you guys are always late for everything, so they had to have extra time.
The ethnic, which is funny, like. It started getting to the point where like ethnic was like very like
slur,
like not slow, I don't care about it, but it was like the way that they're putting comics there, like I was like, they were just putting everywhere and calling them ethnic, and I'm like, well, I was like, I don't know, like I mean, I think it was like they put you and they're like, you're got long hair. You know,
I'm Irish.
And yeah. But they never been to our, you know. But my group was pretty cool. I did it with Mateo Lane, which he really impressed me because he's really funny. But also, like, I thought he was like, oh, he's Italian, but like from New York, really doesn't know Italian. No, he knows fully Italian, really, and he's traveled to Italian. He's like, he was teaching me like, or like how to cook, or like telling me like what's the good food to eat. So. I was very impressed of hanging out with him. And then Gina Brion, you know, she was there too. I did it with also with Mas Giobrani, which was pretty cool too. Yeah. And then Orny Adams.
I haven't seen him in a while.
And then Luis Olonga, which is, he was from South Africa, but he lives in Britain.
Right.
And he was very, very funny too. That was a good group to hang out with, you know.
Yeah. And you all fit under the umbrella ethnic.
Well, I mean, I think everybody did except Orny. I mean, Orny, Orny was the Jewish, you know, Jewish. So I guess that's the ethnic.
I long for the days when we no longer have to label.
I know, that's such a like
I understand that they want to, like, places want diversity. We all want diversity. We all want to move forward and have the world represented the way the world breaks down, you know.
Yeah.
But why not just have the ethnicities on the show? Why does it have, you know what I mean? Like, why did it have to go, this is the ethnic show?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to get true equality until we have, here's a great show.
Yes.
And I mean, there's somebody from Venezuela. There's somebody from Chicago.
Yeah. Like, have the variety in the show, but don't make the show about the variety.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's cool to be variety, but not this. Yeah, I like that because at the end of the day, it's kind of like, unless the show, let's say the show, like there are French shows, it's like, this is a French speaking show.
Right.
Yeah. You know, then label it like that, because obviously you have to know French to understand it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's like, cause like for us, we're all funny, you know, like it wasn't like, you know, and our material wasn't like so ethnic related, you know, like we talked a little bit about where we're from, but it wasn't like our material was very normal anyway. So it's kind of like, or very like, so it's like, yeah. But I do have to say that
like that, isn't it? Cause you never get asked like that way either. You never get asked who's your favorite ethnic comedian.
Yeah. But I do have to say that, because of it, I did get to be on the festival for the first time. So I'm happy that I, at that point, I got the ethnic part of it, because I tried so many times to be a new face. And apparently I'm too much ethnic to be a new face.
Oh, really? Is that how it broke down? You never know what Booker's reasons are. You know, Like, you know, you can't be a new face, but so I can see the process too. If I had to rate a sketch of you getting on it, it would be you going, tell them I storm it here. I have great gigs. I'm past at this club and this club. I work all around the world. I fly everywhere. And then the manager comes back and goes, they just said no again. And then you have to go tell them I'm ethnic.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of happened.
All the things that count in my career.
That's literally how it happened. Like I tried for the new faces. I mean, in the beginning, when I first started, I knew some, I was just very new to comedy. So like I definitely didn't get it. But then later on, there were times where I was like, there was one time finally where I was like, I did good in all the shows that they put me on. And I was like, yeah. And I did good. Like, I was like, not saying the best in the show, but I was like top 2, top 3 in the show. So I'm like, okay. And then I didn't get it. And at that point I was like, all right, I'm done with this trying out for this thing, because it's very, it's getting very, you know, you could tell that it wasn't just about the
count. It hurts your soul after a while.
Yeah. And then what happened was, it's like, yeah, my agent was like, hey, you want to try for this? I was like, sure. I didn't care. I was like, whatever. But I'm not doing the new face thing. And then I got that, which was like, okay, cool. And let me tell you, like I said, I really like the fact that I got that one, because I got to be in Montreal for almost a month. You know, I got to hang out with all these comics who I got to know them. And they're, you know, really cool to hang out with them in a everyday situation and not just doing shows. And then also I got to see the city as well, because when you go into the festival, you know, it's just that last week that really like where everybody shows up. And then at that point, you really don't have time to do anything, because you're going from show to show and you're doing the networking and everything.
And you're talking everybody's face off at the bar. Yeah. And stuff. You're like, it's just nonstop. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really a cool way to get to know the city, to get to know the festival, and to get to know, you know, being in the thing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Very cool. Well, that's
you've done that festival, obviously, right?
I've never done, you know what, Just for Laughs is a weird one for me.
Oh, wow.
I am Canadian it's an interesting
Isn't that a Canadian show? Like the ethnic show, the Canadian show.
Yeah, there's a Canadian show, but they don't want to, because I was based in Britain for so long. And also I won the BBC Comedy Award in Britain, which is quite a big prize. It was a big TV show, right? It's like Star Search. And the prize was to go to Just for Laughs. Oh. And then they reneged it because I was Canadian, because they were like, we have enough Canadians over there. We want
really wow.
So even though I won. So then there was some drama, and then I don't know. I don't know. It's not down to me. I think they fell out with other people. And I also, there's also a notorious story about my father writing them a letter.
Your father?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Like
I did not ask him, but I told him.
That's a father thing to do. That's your dad going into school and telling like people, like the teacher in front of your friends. Like my dad did that, like, and very embarrassing. I mean, now I see it and like I know why he did it. Like he did one thing where like I was getting picked up by this carpool, like transportation from school. But the guy who did it, I should talk about this on my, I should write this on my, for my stand-up, because it's a funny story. Like the guy who did it, who was the school bus guy, he was the son of the lady of the, like of the cafeteria lady in the school. And he was like a, did a lot of drugs, young guy, just fucking like punk rock. Yeah. Like when we got into the bus, it was like in Venezuela, my school was all boys school, and it was all together from like first grade to seniors. And so it was like, so we're at the school bus, and like, it was just like guys, like 18-year-old guys with like 7, 9-year-old boys. And these guys are, you know, watching Playboy and talking about this and that. And we're like, you know, and then we did it. I mean, there was no regulations on those things. So one day the guy didn't, he crashed the bus or something or whatever. So he came to pick me up on a Jeep Wrangler, no roof. And he had like a bunch of kids like in, like basically hanging out, you know, like no seat belts, no nothing. And then my dad is like, I'm walking to them. My dad sees it and he just goes into the, and starts yelling at the guy, going like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Is that you gonna have my son there, like hanging there? He can die. This is my life, you motherfucker." You know, like, and I'm in my like, obviously as a kid, you're going like, "Oh, my dad, he's embarrassing." You know, obviously now I understand my dad was why he did it. Obviously, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? You can't just be doing that. And I still got in the Jeep, and the guy's like, he was all scary. He's like, "Just put your seatbelt on." And then he just took us to the, but it was so, but yeah, I could tell how your dad, so your dad wrote a letter to JFL.
Yeah, it was, so my dad is a letter writer. My dad has written newspapers and stuff like that. And yeah, and at this
is this because of the BBC thing or something else?
No, it wasn't. He didn't, it's not because, it was just because I think my career was, in the early days of my career, it was I don't know. There was a lot of public things. So my father was trying to just, you know, expand my career, I guess. So he's a letter writer. I won the BBC Comedy Award. I had my own TV show on Britain. I was on every comedy show. I was on The Stars of Tomorrow and Stan and I was on everything. So my father then
doing a lot.
So my father was writing Maclean's magazine to get me in the top 30 under 30. You know, any magazine that had a top 30 under 30 kind of thing. And I was winning some of those awards too. So my dad was just going crazy.
Like being a manager. And then,
yeah, he was almost trying to be a manager without telling me. And then I only found out because Zoe from Just for Laughs, I was in Australia doing the festival in Australia. And she came up to me in the bar and she was like, "You know, your father wrote me a letter." And I was like, "Oh, no."
Well, you had no idea.
Because I know that my father's writing magazines and writing like whatever, right? You know, I want to be a travel journalist and stuff.
Do you have that letter?
So he's getting travel journalism places. He goes, you know, like, you know, this comic is, he's touring the world and he's got a journalism, I don't have a journalism degree, but I was about to get my journalism degree. Anyway.
Well, he was doing what a dad was doing. He was like making lies. He's like, "Yeah, he's a journalist major." He's like, "Dad, I'm not. I'm still graduating."
Well, no. Well, he didn't have to lie, but I have found out. Like, so Zoe comes up to me and goes, "Your father wrote me." No, he doesn't have. He didn't have to lie about my achievements because I was doing all these things. And Zoe said that to me, and I knew then. I was like, "Oh my god!" And she told me that she had pinned. Like, it's actually kind of mean. But
the letter? Did you have the letter?
The letter's not mean. She pinned it up in her office. And the way she told me it, I was like, "Oh God, you guys have just turned me into a joke. I won a national comedy award, and yet my own country is treating me as a joke." So it was an interesting, you know. So having said that, because I have found out from other comics too that it was quite well known, and a lot of people didn't know who it is. And I've told even the last few weeks, I thought, "Oh yeah, that's my dad. That was my."
Wait, so let me ask you: did you read the letter that he wrote?
I can't remember if I've seen it or not, or Zoe might have even read it to me. Because
I want to know if
she found it funny, but
I would like to know like how he like you gotta get that letter. I mean, I think that's funny.
It would have just been, "You should have my son at Just for Laughs. He's got his own he's got his own sitcom.
That's just funny. He's got his
own sitcom on BBC One. He just won the BBC Comedy Award in Britain. He's the only Canadian to have ever won the award. He just listened to all those things. Like, I'm sure he did for everybody. But I wish he hadn't have done it in my own industry. Dad, go ahead and reach out to magazines and stuff, but leave comedy people out of this.
Like the fact that he said, "You should have my son." Like, you don't say the son. He should have just wrote without you, like, "Hey, I think JJ should do it." You know, don't say, because the son thing, that's what makes it funny, because that takes you back to like being the little kid that the dad grabs you, like, he's talking to the teacher like, "You should have my son playing the game because he's good. He practices every day. You know, he should play." And you're like, "All right, put him in the game."
Basically, my father was a stage dad from the other side.
That's
of
so funny. It's so cool
because he's in Canada and I was in my career was in Britain.
That's so funny because I understand your dad. I had no idea
what my dad was up to.
Like, I understand your dad doing it, but it's so funny because that's such a dad thing to do that never works out. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, "Dad, you should, like, I love that you're supporting me, but that's not the way to support me." You know what I mean?
Yeah. But also, yeah. It's always strange that it works the exact opposite way. I think Just for Laughs thinks I've been there. I think they do. Like, whenever I run into them and stuff, I'm like, you know, we chat and stuff. And I think, I don't know if they realize they've never had me.
You should tell them. You're like, that's like what person, that's like somebody goes like. Well, I stopped.
It's like you said, it's like what you said earlier about doing a tryout for new faces or anything. I eventually just went, fine. My career is okay. Because eventually in your career, you got to realize you got to work with the people who want to work with you and not worry about the ones who don't, even though sometimes the ones who don't will break your heart because you grew up watching them on TV and went, I'm going to be part of that someday. But but you trust yourself. Oh, because I might have grown up watching Just for Laughs and that's all.
And also,
I didn't grow up watching the New Zealand Comedy Festival or Melbourne Comedy Festival or even the Edinburgh Comedy. I didn't grow up watching any of those. And then I went on to do all those. So sometimes...
And also, sometimes it's better, but also, like, at the end of the day, it can happen where, like, you're still gonna be able to be on the festival, and then you're gonna be, when you do go, it's gonna be in a bigger level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because being a thin, like, let's say a gala, for example, you know, like, have those guys that, like, I did the Canyon gala, you know, and that's like, that's a cool way to do it instead of being like, you know, whatever, you know.
Well, did you hear about, I think I heard a story, I think it's Jim Gaffigan, I believe. It's a, because I'm not alone, that's the other thing too, you realize in the comedy community, we're I don't know, sometimes we're a tight-knit community and sometimes we're a bitchy community. But of course I'm not alone. I mean, I feel like I'm alone because I'm a Canadian, because it's my own country. I'm like, why do I get to play every other country, but not my own country's festival?
Yeah,
but
you're
why
don't you love me, Mom?
It feels a little bit like that. And I think a lot of Canadian artists feel that way. If we don't get a little bit of an acknowledgement from our own country, we're sometimes like, why?
It's weird because Canadians are very, I mean, polite and supportive and nice people, like, but they don't support their own artists.
Well, there's a thing in New Zealand and Australia and Canada, right? The Kiwis call it tall poppy syndrome. You know, and the Canadians, these countries, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, kind of live by this, that we're small town people, we're a whole parking lot country of small town people, and when somebody gets too big for their own britches, we'll cut them down. You know.
But what about Drake?
So in some ways, I don't know how Drake got his first break.
No, I'm talking about, is Drake supported in Canada, or like people going like,
sure he is. No, I'm sure he's supported. I'm sure he's the biggest artist in the world, isn't he? He's the biggest rap artist in the world.
Yeah. So I was just saying, like, but they don't. So basically, you have to make it in your own merits, and then they support you.
Yeah. So anyway, so the story I was going to tell you was I hear Jim Gaffigan about we don't have to drill down on my country too hard, but sometimes relationships in work as well, they want to help build your career as well. So if you're not, I built my career in Britain and Australia and New Zealand. I didn't I didn't even do my first TV special in Canada until I was like 7 years into my career. Mm-hmm. So that's it too. So they kind of tried to put me in a box of like, he's not really a Canadian act.
Mm.
He says he's Canadian, but he's not really one of ours because he didn't come up through our.
I feel the same way with Venezuela.
But what I want to say was, so I'm pretty sure it's Jim Gaffigan, but I was told the story. So same, like there's a lot of comedians because you know, there's only a finite amount that get to go to the festival anyway. So there's no point in whining about it. And you know that a lot of comedians miss out, but I hear that Jim Gaffigan didn't get booked all through his career as well. And he got booked for the first time, whatever, recently in the last few years, whatever. And he did his set from 20 years ago, from when he wanted Just for Last Man.
That's
so
cool.
He did all those jokes to go, well, you never booked me here in my career. And
that's,
you know,
because
at this point, Jim Gaffigan was already hugely famous. And now Just for Laughs wants him. And I hear that's what he did. He's like, so the Spice Girls, you know, or whatever.
Well, it's kind of like the Seinfeld thing of Seinfeld not being passed at the comedy store because Mitzi. And he took that as a like, okay, all right, fine. I won't be here. Right. And then he became who he became and his show and everything. And he's like, but it's the same thing. And sometimes you need those things to get you to the next level. You know what I mean? Sometimes you need those people to tell you no, so you can get to the other level, you know?
People who turn their backs on you often point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
was like, true. Say, that's me. I made that one up.
That's a good one.
And it is, like I said to you earlier, it's important, especially in a career in the arts and stuff, it's important to remember dreams are dreams, but you work with the people that want to work with you, and just don't worry about the ones who don't. That's
I learned that too, like you know, middle of my career, because like as humans we always want to be liked, you know, but then as humans are because humans we're fucked up. We always want to be liked sometimes by the people that don't like us, which is so weird. Like, and we don't, it's like, instead of like, no, like you said, like work with or hang out with the friends or the family that likes you and work with the people that like you. And who cares if that person doesn't like you, then bye, you know? But like, but especially when you're young, you know, like you want to be like, you want to be in belong, you want to be in a group. So like, I kind of did that too. And then I finally realized, no, work with the people that you want to, there's so many, there's trillions of people in the world. You know what I mean? Like work with the people that want to like you and that's it, you know?
Yeah. And don't forget too, if somebody doesn't want to work with you, you can always get your dad to write them a letter.
Wow. That's a great way to end this episode. You know, get a dad to write you or get your dad to yell at the bus driver. That's driving a Jeep Wrangler, you know.
Every time I go home, I like my dad will be like, "Oh, I got one in the newspaper this week," and so then I'll, because my sister will roll her eyes, go, "Dad got another letter in the paper," and I'll open it up and it'll be like, "Yeah, people are driving too fast down on Waterfront Street or whatever."
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
That's my paw.
Well, that was a. That's a cool show. Well, I think it was a good episode. We got to know a little more of New Zealand. And like you said, hopefully when we start getting actually guests from New Zealand, then we're going to know so much more about it.
Because what we would like to do is kick off an episode by going, "Hey, Francisco, you know where this week's guest is from?" And then off we go.
Well, we're going to do that after the pandemic is over. So like we're just... Right now we gotta hang out like this, so but eventually we'll do that. So but thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for being here, and also like everything, just subscribe, share, you know, let us know, follow us too. You know, right now it's hard to later on also too. That's another thing too that we'll be doing as we're stand up, so we're gonna be also going to be on the road. So eventually we'll start also giving you dates of when we're going to be on the road. For now, we are stuck in our houses, you know, for pandemic, but yeah.
And for the one person that is currently watching live, we are on Apple Podcasts now.
And so. we'll be going live now from the from now on. You know, we'll be going live on Twitch, you know, which is what we want to build our Twitch fan base, because that Twitch fan base is really good. So we're also going to be going live on YouTube. And yeah, like JJ said, we're going to be on, now we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And we're getting better every week, baby.
Yep. So, I don't know, how do you say bye in Kiwi?
I don't know, g'day. That's still Australian, isn't it?
I don't know.
How do Kiwis say goodbye? Just politely. Bye.
Bye.